of the agenda, Mr. Lawson.
Good morning, council. Remind you to push your button for talking so everyone can hear you. Do not see any recommended changes to today's agenda.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Mr. Schaefer, any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. We have the minutes of August 29th. Any questions, corrections, additions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We have one which is from Dry Dock Recovery, Inc., thanking council for their grant and enabling them to continue work with drug and alcohol addiction recovery, and that's all.
Thank you. Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Move down to public comments. This is the time the public can speak to us up to 3 minutes about something we have some control of, interest in. When you come up to speak and you start, make sure it's my turn's on the microphone there. And the green light comes on, you have 3 minutes. When the amber light comes on, you got a minute. When the red light comes on, hopefully you are done. Jill Hicks.
Thank you. My name is Jill Hicks. I live in Chapel Green, Lewis. I am vice president and co-founder of the Sussex Preservation Coalition. In little over a year since its formation, many allied organizations have joined us, such as the Center for Inland Bays, the Nature Conservancy, the Bethany Beach Landowners Association, Sussex Alliance for Responsible Growth, Preserve Our Park, Delaware Interfaith Power and Light, and Native Roots Farm Foundation, just to name a few. Well over 1,700 Sussex County citizens have joined our membership. I am here to speak on behalf of the coalition. The centerpiece of the comprehensive plan, the future land use chapter, creates a framework for achieving the plan's vision. Its priorities include, quote, protect critical natural resources by guarding against overdevelopment and permanently preserving selected lands. Quote, ensure that new developments incorporate best practices in subdivision design. Quote, use this new future land use plan to update the county's zoning and subdivision codes. End of quotes. The county is 5 years into the plan, and some of the other goals have been met, and we thank you for your work. But now, as you have made known, it is time to get to the business of amending ordinances and codes. Your constituents have high expectations. They are agitated by traffic congestion and gridlock. They are concerned with the lack of available health care while the population continues to grow at a rate beyond the plan's projections. Schools lack the needed space and teachers. Your constituents are enraged by the visible and offensive loss of forest, woodland canopies, and wetlands, as well as insufficient buffers along roadways and between subdivisions. Open space is rapidly disappearing, and some of Sussex County's economic catalysts, its charm and its quality of life, are being decimated. We thank you for taking up the hard work ahead. Our hope is that this council will elevate superior design and write codes that will create subdivisions that are truly superior to the standard. That open space becomes more than fragments of land and a collection of stormwater ponds, utilities requiring maintenance that are sold as water views. That forests are preserved to clean the air, filter water, prevent erosion, provide cooling during excessive heat, provide a calming effect in our neighborhoods and along our roadways, and provide places for children to play and explore, much like you and I did when we were growing up. And that afforestation takes place, particularly as development moves west. The work you're about to begin will be your legacy on this council. Be mindful that the destruction of natural resources inevitably leads to slow, irreversible economic failure. The county's current trajectory is not sustainable. This work on which you're about to embark will be the county's single most defining moment in determining its future. Thank you for taking up this work ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Rich Barrasso.
Good morning, President Vinson, council, and staff. For the record, my name is Rich Barrasso from Milton. I hope all of you had a great summer. I feel very fortunate to have traveled with my wife and family this summer with trips to the Rocky Mountains and the Lowcountry of South Carolina. Aside from the adjustment from the 10 feet above sea level in Sussex to the 10,000 feet in Vail, I found a number of similarities, to include the abundance of natural resources, thriving tourist economies, and expanding and vibrant communities. In both areas, what was even more notable was the remarkable presence of mature tree stands and extensive forest canopies. It was the blue spruce and the lodgepole pines in Colorado, the live oaks, and the southern magnolias in South Carolina. Curious, and upon closer investigation, I learned of local efforts in both areas in the extensive protection of trees, forest, and woodlands in their respective land use development ordinances. But one does not have to travel far or even out of the area to see that same regard for the importance of trees. Examples do exist here on the Delmarva Peninsula. One ordinance example, and I quote, in the ordinance, it reads, "The main purpose is to minimize the loss of forest resources during land development by making the identification and protection of forests and other sensitive areas an integral part of the site planning process. The identification of priority areas prior to development makes their retention possible. Of primary interest are areas adjacent to streams or wetlands, those on steep slopes, erodible soils, or within or adjacent to large contiguous blocks of forest or wildlife corridors." This, of course, is the Maryland Conservation Act, enacted in 1991. Another example, and it reads, "To establish standards and requirements for the protection and planting of trees and woodlands, because it is recognized that woodlands and trees are not only desirable, but are also essential to the health, the safety, and welfare of the population, and they in that they provide oxygen, reduce carbon dioxide, stabilize soil, cleanse the air, and so on." This, of course, is the Kent County, Delaware Woodland Preservation Ordinance. The fact is, every jurisdiction that borders Sussex County has a comprehensive set of standards and regulations for the protection and preservation of trees and woodlands prior and during the development process. Unfortunately, Sussex County codes are woefully inadequate in recognizing the importance of trees. The only reference in our current land code is the forested and/or landscape buffer strip, where it states its purpose is to filter views from into the subdivision in such a manner that the areas on the agricultural side of the buffer appear more green and less visible, and the structures or uses on the subdivision side appear less obvious, less dense than if no landscaping had been required.
If you could wrap it up, please.
Yes. Trees are too important to be reduced to merely a function of screening. In conclusion, please make the preservation of trees an integral part of the development design review process and adopt a Sussex County Woodland Preservation Ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Henry.
Try to follow Tyler's suggestion for managing the slideshow. I have just a few slides that accompany my comments. Everybody have it, I think, now. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Jim Henry, and I also represent the Sussex Preservation Coalition. I'm here to present today some preliminary results from a survey we conducted to try to gauge the importance of trees and woodlands to Sussex Countyans. In designing our survey, we grounded it in facts and peer-reviewed research based on primary and secondary sources. We've published a 7-page fact sheet. I've showed you just the first page here. If you'd like to consult it for yourself, you can go to our website and regard it. We opened this survey from August 1st and we closed it yesterday. We solicited respondents through mailing lists, press releases, and local media coverage. In designing the survey, we constructed 10 statements seeking multiple choice responses with options to comment. Respondents were assured anonymity with options to include email to follow the results via SBC. You can see the first page of it here. If you want to visit this survey and see the entire survey, you can go once again to our website and you'll recognize it by this first page. I'd like to call your attention now to the chart that I gave you. You can see there that we had, these are the 10 statements. Only the 10th was not a question or a prompt about facts, but rather policy that we think the Sussex County should establish. And as you can see, in terms of our quantitative responses, to the prompt, Sussex County must establish standards and requirements for the planting of trees and protection of woodlands because it is recognized that woodlands and trees are not only desirable, but are also essential to the health, safety, and welfare of the population. To that prompt, given the options of not important, important, somewhat important, important, or extremely important, 98.9% of our respondents replied either important or extremely important. I'll also call your attention to the bottom right corner of the chart where I've listed how many total comments people added. As you can see, people added as many as 500 comments for certain questions. To the last question, there were 330. And when I analyzed these questions to see what issues or how people felt most strongly about this topic, these are them in descending order. Urgency. People think this is an urgent issue. Citizens' health and welfare versus private profit. Deforestation equals the suburbanization of Sussex County, the elimination of wildlife, the ravages of clear cutting, factoring in Delaware's geology, comparing Delaware to our neighboring jurisdictions, Sussex to our neighboring jurisdictions, regulations and long-range planning, big picture horticulture and ecosystems, the standards' impact on the environment, and climate change. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, sir. Steve Sinclair.
Good morning. My name is Steve Sinclair, and I'm the former director for the state of Vermont. My wife, Susan, and I moved down to Millsboro in 2019. And one of the things that really attracted us to Sussex County was a mix of farmland and forest. Very similar to Vermont, well, without the hills. As the former state forester in Vermont, I've really taken an interest in my adopted forests down here in Delaware. I have contacts with current and former employees of the Delaware Forest Service and have been appointed to the Delaware Urban and Community Forestry Council. I've looked closely at and followed the news about forest loss in Sussex County, and this has led me to investigate state, local, and county policies, laws, and ordinances related to open space and tree preservation. I was pleased to see that both in Newcastle and Kent counties have identified the values and benefits of trees and forests in their ordinance and standards and have best management practices that are comparable to other states and regions around us. At the same time, I was really surprised to see that in Sussex County, we really don't address the ecological, economic, and social benefits of maintaining intact forests and tree preservation, other than their use for buffers from adjoining properties. Everyone knows the saying, not seeing the forest for the trees. It seems like the rate of development in Sussex County and the accompanying loss of intact forests, the time is ripe for the council to start looking at and recognizing the myriad of benefits and values that can be had from retaining forest cover and use this opportunity to update the county ordinances that preserve trees and forests. As an example, why not require a forest stand delineation prior to any development that would be the backbone of a conservation plan that identifies and protects valuable forest habitat from development and tree preservation practices that actually work that ensure that retained trees and developments will thrive over time. I applaud the council for identifying open space and tree preservation and as needing attention and I'm hopeful that any rewrite of the ordinance will see trees and forests for all the values and benefits they provide. Thank you for your time, and I hope that I'm able to contribute in any way in this endeavor that I can. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Stone.
Good morning. President Vincent, members of the council, I'm Jeff Stone from Milton. I'm speaking for myself today. The upcoming review of certain county land use codes is long overdue and much needed, but in my opinion, it's too narrow in its scope. The concepts of superior design must not be limited to single developments, but applied far more holistically throughout the county overall, in every aspect of its growth and development. Superior design should be the standard applied to everything the county does to create a better built environment for its residents and better protect and preserve its awesome but threatened natural environment. Revising, refreshing, and modernizing codes is important, but only if done to fulfill a clear, overarching vision of what the county should be as it continues to grow. Without that focus, the codes are nothing but words on paper with no direction as to what they are to create. Just as the county has grown so haphazardly over the past 40 years, the next 40 will lock Sussex County into its final lasting character. Sussex County, with all of its resources, can and must do better. Sussex has the potential to be the model of quality development. Will its future be a continuation of the same patterns of scattered, disconnected jigsaw puzzle pieces that never form a complete picture? The council must, perhaps through the upcoming comprehensive plan, create a new vision that truly embraces superior design principles, not just in individual subdivisions, but end-to-end across the county. Why shouldn't Sussex County be the poster child of superior design? This is, for the most part, what the comp plan currently envisions, but hasn't delivered. Robert Kennedy said, quote, "Some men see things as they are and ask why. I dream of things that never were and ask why not," unquote. I encourage you to boldly think out of the Sussex County box, to ask why not, to use your creative imaginations to find solutions that may not be considered standard. This is an opportunity to innovate and create a lasting legacy for this council. It's time for Sussex to become the community the words of the comp plan vision statement envisions. Sussex, quote, "Sussex County offers a unique quality of life for its residents and visitors alike. We appreciate and seek to preserve the unique natural, historical, and agricultural character while fostering new economic opportunities, community vitality, and desirable growth through strategic investments and efficient use of county resources. To accomplish this, Sussex County will balance the welfare of its citizens and its roles in agricultural, tourism, and business leader with the most appropriate future land uses of water and other resources. It should begin with the upcoming review of codes, but that must not be the end-all and be-all. As you undertake your review, I ask that you keep in mind the broader perspective that must be applied in reviewing the five categories the perspective so well presented in the comp plan. This will set the stage for a far better future for Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Paul Rieger.
Good morning. Good morning, Paul Rieger.
Good morning.
15808 Bachelor Boulevard, Georgetown. Last week when I spoke about with putting a couple members from the county council, a non-voting member on Planning and Zoning and Board of Adjustment, I wish I was the third speaker that came up instead of being the first last week during public comment. The hearing that the people were speaking about, I believe, never even would come to County Council, so you wouldn't even have any issue or understanding of why they were having their problem with that development in Milton. The second thing is I was listening to both of them speaking about the 3 minute with Planning and Zoning taking away public comment. My assumption is, and this comes back to a fight that we had years ago, was with public comment. It's like you don't go to the fox for advice on how to guard the chicken house. This county council, we used to have the speaking for public comment longer than 3 minutes. Some people abused it, some didn't, but it was pulled back to keep everybody only getting 3 minutes. So that keeps everybody from not being able to finish. We used to have a little bit of comeback from the county council members where they used to ask questions from people coming up, and it would come out in the light. What I didn't understand is the 3 minutes that they were asking for 3 minutes for planning and zoning to have the phone in, which it should be done. If it's done here, if it costs the county an extra $1,000 a meeting, why not do it? It's $1,000, it's for the public service, giving it back to the public. You can't limit them to 3 minutes. That's why I can't understand that, how you can have through a hearing. You can limit a person calling in on a public hearing for 3 minutes during planning and zoning. So it just goes to where somebody should have at least brought that up and asked that question. It just goes to show that anybody who speaks up here, a lot of it goes over, and it's just, we're just up here speaking our minds, and that's it. Second thing is, what I mainly been fighting about was, years ago, was the definition of farm. I haven't done nothing here for the last 3 years. I haven't showed up since COVID, since Mr. Kramer had passed. But the definition of solar farm came back up. Now, the only thing is on a farm of 5 acres is the only definition. We don't even have a definition in the county for what a farm is. So how can you even call it a solar farm when there ain't a definition for a farm? And can you only put solar panels on over 5 acres because that's the only farm? And if you're going to have solar farms, can you use land preservation money, property that's been as tax assessed for solar farms? Can they put them? So is a solar farm an energy company type deal, or is it an agriculture company? All I want is people should do a definition for that. And also, two, is coming up, you should figure out something for planning and zoning and somehow come up with the conditions to put it back in and make force them to do it.
Thank you, sir. Renita Harmon.
Hi, I'm Renita Harmon. I'm quite sure y'all remember me. Yes, I'm back again because last time I was here, Guy followed me out of here and advised me that, you know, that kind of like I need to stop coming. If y'all wanted to make a law allowing people to live in RVs and allow tiny homes, y'all could have been did it. That y'all got the power to do it just like that, but y'all haven't, and I don't understand why. You know, it'd be nice if y'all could just let us know one reason why y'all want RVs used for storage and only storage, because y'all leave us to making up reasons, like the big houses that y'all building all around and rental properties being expensive. Okay, y'all don't want people living in tiny homes because y'all want them to buy the big homes. That's what I'm assuming. But you can't force that on new generation. Yes, older people with money, they want big homes and stuff, but the kids don't. I done taught that every new generation, younger people, nobody wants big houses to clean and take care of no more. I'm a caregiver. I go to these big houses and stuff like that. And you know what? Minimum wage is $11 for caregivers. I get paid $14 to go to people's house, and they love me. I'm best aide ever, because I can bath them up, clean their house and everything in 1 hour, but I'm only getting $14 an hour for it. Do y'all think that's fair? I don't think it's fair. And you notice on the paper I put homeless, because I did rent a house. I rented a house and the man said, you know, owners of houses should have the right to do what you want with your house. That's right. If you have a house in Florida, you want to go to Florida, then come back to your house. Yes, I do think you have the right. But as people who rent houses, y'all need rules and regulations for these landlords. You have to control them raising the rent. Right now, y'all are kicking out all the locals that rent and have reasonable rent. The landlords is raising the rent for them because they think it's a big need for rental properties. It's not. It's not. It's a lot of people homeless because they can't afford $1,600, $1,000 a month. My house, the landlord tried to force me to move in the house with no running water. It has no well, no running water at all. And she told me, at this point, the house is as is. They'll fix whatever need to be fixed while I'm in there. Well, I wrote that check to the landlord June the 30th, but today I'm still homeless. I have stuff in there. I bought appliances. I've been taking my paychecks I work for, stainless steel refrigerator, stove and stuff, put in the house or whatever, but this landlord still doesn't want to get running water. And because y'all haven't made no laws or rules or regulations regulating landlords, holding them to a certain standard, she's doing this. And I think it shouldn't be right. It, you know, if y'all think that, okay, $1,500 a month, oh, great profit. You're not going to get nobody to stay in no house for a long time at high rates. You're not. What y'all inviting is people to rent your house for $1,500 because they had no choice, and then tear your house up or look for the cheaper next house. I don't want to do that. I got a great rental background. I have took care of every rental property I have. I even helped them fix it up. But this situation I'm in right now, I don't know what to do because she knows there's
no... Ma'am, if you could close up your comments.
Can y'all please change the law and allow people to live in RVs? Because right now I'm homeless. I pay for to live in a house that I can't live in. Please change the law allowing people to live in RVs. My house is done right. If I got to pay for a permit, I pay for a permit. Please just change the law. They said y'all can do it. If you wanted to, drop a dime. It's not going to hurt nobody if y'all do this. Make the rules, permits, or something like that. But if y'all can do it, just do it. I mean.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Mr. Lawson.
We have somebody in the audience that didn't sign up. Didn't know the paper was.
We've had to sign up every day, or every Tuesday back there. Chip, would you give us who this man wants to speak, whoever he is?
Sorry.
Thanks, sir. Robert Mitchell.
Is it on?
Yep.
Gotcha. I came here to address something that was spoken about me at your last meeting. And I'd really just ask if the council understands what the definition of slander is. Mr. Moore, you're an attorney. I'm sure you understand the definition of slander. It's when someone asserts something as a fact about someone else that's not true. And at the last county council meeting, Mr. Riley asserted something about me publicly, not in council chambers, not in a closed meeting, but publicly that was recorded and then put in the paper. That is not a fact. And I don't understand why that is. And then he ended his comment by saying, I hope that this ends it all. I mean, it would have been fine, but I don't know why you dragged me into it again with a comment that was not a fact, but yet he stated it as a fact. And I'll read it to you because it was recorded in the paper again, where Mr. Riley says, my no vote was based on the fact that he, that would be me, expressed a point of view on development, particularly on the eastern side of the county, that is an extreme variance to my point of view, where he supported the proposition to rezone Route 1 to high density on 1 mile on either side from Lewis to Milford. I will not vote to support a man and put him on planning and zoning with that point of view. That's the end of that story. So I would challenge him to find when I ever said that. I would have challenged him to ask me if I had said that when I stood here and answered any questions that the council had. And yet you stated that's my position. So you put words in my mouth that were reported publicly and then reported in the paper. So I'm giving you an opportunity this morning to either find proof that that's what I've said and that's what I believe, or apologize for it. You know, we stood here this morning and quoted from the 23rd Psalm, so I'll quote also from the Old Testament that says you shouldn't bear false witness. I think you know that, John. And I don't know why those words came out of your mouth about me last week publicly. I didn't appreciate it, and I do believe it rises to the level of slander. Now, whether that's a legal definition or not, I don't know, but according to the dictionary, it certainly does. Because it's not a fact, and you can't back it up. So I'll give you that opportunity if you want. I have 11 seconds.
We don't do that.
I understand you don't. But I would expect for him to address me personally, since you wanted to do it publicly. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And just so the public understands this, the only person from council that may respond if they choose to a speaker in the public comment is the president. No one else. Okay? Mr. Lawson, now we're to you again.
Thank you, Mr. President. County Administrator's report, maybe. County Administrator's report, yeah, thank you. County Administrator's report for September 12, 2023, item one. The Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County will meet September 18th at 10 a.m. at the Sussex County Administrative Offices West Complex, 22215 North DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. Copy of the meeting agenda is attached. Item two, the Sussex County Council will host a workshop with the Planning and Zoning Commission at 12:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 21st, 2023, at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Complex located at 21911 Rudder Lane in Georgetown. Workshop will continue the county's discussion on the Development Design Initiative. Mr. President, two other announcements. First, I think we need to go for the public comments, the folks that may be online.
Oh, you are correct, we do.
And secondly, I've just been informed that our next agenda item, Mr. Jay Shine, EMS Manager of Operations, is at the DVFA convention in Wilmington today, and we made a mistake, and this should be on for next week, so okay. We will jump over that agenda item.
No problem. But you are correct. We had a lot of people in here. I forgot about that. Operator, check online, please, for public comment.
At this time, there is currently no one on the line.
Thank you, sir. We'll close public comments. Any else, Mr. Lawson? Is that it?
Thank you.
Okay. Medlars. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Mic getting on. Oh, it is now. Good job.
Good morning, Council. We have three items on the agenda today. And the first one up is the South Coastal Facility. And I summarized, this is all general construction on the South Coastal Facilities. There were a number of items, moving parts. Two items were initiated by Environmental Services. And the one was dealing with the filters, where our chief operator, Mr. Moore, said it would be in the best interest of the facility if we could bypass each one of the four filter banks, so we can work on that particular bank while the other one's still running. So that was one of the requests. The other one is the equalization chamber, which is in the back, which was built in the 80s, has a control building called the LTS building that had the original 1980s roof. So he asked for a roof to be installed. So these are the two requests there. The other one was the bridge for the front equalization, where the parapet wall was to support the new walkways, and some of you have been up there. When we took the cap off, the parapet wall just fell down. So that had to be rebuilt. You saw the pictures. The other one is the paving piece. I realized, and I brought that forward to the contractor, that the entire site will end up with a patchwork of paving restorations. So I said, why don't we go to, we've recently seen in the subdivision world, successful soil amendment with cement. So I said, let's bring a big miller machine in, mill up everything we have, first 4 inches, amend it with cement, wet it down, make that our base, and pave 2 inches over the entire thing. So when we compare that to what we have today, for an extra $140,000, we can get the entire site reclaimed and make it with a new pavement so it looks like a brand new facility. So that would be our recommendation from the engineering side. And when you look at the various components, that encompasses that particular change order. Now, we have a couple other moving parts which are not ready yet to be presented, but I will bring them up in the next few months. However, the grid removal on the aeration basins, I discussed it at the last one, and I didn't have a proposal yet. So today we have an amendment to one of the unit price items. We propose to amend it downward to a lower number, where we would, rather than pulling out wet grit and taking it to the landfill at a $80 price, that we would reduce that number, store it on site, amend it with lime, cover it, treat it over time, and then we can spread it on site as an inert sand. So that seemed to be the cheaper solution. So they are willing to amend the that particular unit price item. That's not a change order. That is just you have to agree to amend that item because the as bid item is different than the one they have. So these are two actions. Very rarely do we touch these amendments to unit price items, maybe half a dozen times in my career, but it is a good thing here, and it actually saves us money, so we should do that. So these are two different motions. One has, okay. One's a real change order, the other is a unit price item amendment.
Let's do one at a time.
Let me start with the change order, which is standard. be moved upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department that change order number 30 for the contract C19-11 South Coastal Wastewater Treatment Process Upgrade Number 3, Horvath Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant Capital Improvement Program Phase 2, general construction be approved, increasing the contract amount by $314,000.181 and $181.45.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Second one is based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the unit price item, I have to look it up again, C-6 grit removal be amended as presented.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next.
We're making great progress on the various projects which you had identified in the budget. So the one we have today is the Blackwater Village in Warwick Park. I included the intended use plan for the state of Delaware in the project priority list, number 1 and 2 on the state. So we will get the funding. The NREC has already signaled we will receive the funding at the December meeting, so you will see the binding commitment letter. I'll bring that forward by the end of the year. In order to move the project along faster, the state actually suggested that we award the contracts, any and all costs incurred leading up to this, while we are on the intended use plan, are eligible costs. So these two contracts will be rolled into the project costs. So the two engineering firms to be proposed are the engineering firms which are on our shortlist for the right. Three firms.
Sure.
And we split this up because Blackwater will be another vacuum system. Davis Bone and Friedel has sort of emerged as the vacuum design consultant of choice. George Marson Bure has done a pretty good job on Western Sussex pump stations. So we felt that the pump station design of Warwick Cove would be appropriate for their contract. These are both design contracts and bid phase contracts, no construction phase services at this point.
And you have motion.
So we have two motions. Respective motions.
Okay.
Be moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that amendment number 10 to the 2019 miscellaneous engineering base agreement with Davis Bone Friedel be approved in the amount not to exceed $292,500 for survey and design services associated with Blackwater Village project.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
I second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next.
Second one, be removed based upon the recommendation of Sussex County Engineering Department, amendment number 2. To the EJCDC 2019 Miscellaneous Engineering Base Contract with George Miles and Bure Incorporated be approved in the amount not to exceed $108,495 for design services associated with the Warwick Park project.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson, second. Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Next, sir.
Next one deals with the constructed wetland at the Inland Bays. And that project is, you know, it's wrapped up in this big regrading project, and the the other stormwater improvements at the Inland Bay site. So if you haven't had any chance, it is a great project to visit, right, Mr. Lawson? So, and have you seen the new swale along Lawson Road? No, it's not Lawson. It's Cannon Road. We shouldn't rename it. But so the project's ahead of schedule, which is great. Even the constructed wetland is ahead of schedule.
Wow.
You had recently approved the amendment to the RK and Co contract to include all the testing for the infiltration of the constructed wetland during the actual construction phase. That confirmed the testing from the design phase. We made the amendment. The amendment's been submitted to DNRC. So this wetland will be fed with effluent from the wastewater plant and with groundwater, nitrogen contaminated groundwater from the site where we intercept the natural groundwater flow towards Guinea Creek. So the two sources, obviously the effluent side is covered in the operations plan. The groundwater side is to be covered in a allocation permit. I made the case to DNRC that there should be no allocation because we're taking the groundwater out and reintroducing it in the constructed wetland infiltration piece. Well, that didn't go anywhere, so I was rejected. So I made a second case that the state should be the permit holder because we're withdrawing the groundwater on behalf of the state who is responsible for the non-point source pollution reduction. I thought that was an excellent case. It was rejected.
Hard to believe.
So after two rejections, I didn't put him in the memo. I thought, no. So it came back. County has to get an allocation permit. So we have to get an allocation permit. In order to file for the allocation permit, you have to have a hydrogeologist make the application with the background information and the documentation. So Mr. Mayhat from RK&K is a licensed hydrogeologist in the state of Delaware. RK&K gave us a proposal, so here we are. Unfortunately, I thought I made two good cases.
You tried.
I got one response back. We say, we give you credit for the innovative approach.
There you go. See that? Well, they read it anyway.
I have a suggested motion to get the allocation done. BB move based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department. The council approved the RK&K water allocation permit proposal in the amount not to exceed $25,000.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I will yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. By the way, there is an exception in the state regulations for reintroduction, but they didn't take the argument for the reintroduction.
Mr. Ashman?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm here today for the permission to prepare and post notices for the expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District in the Dagsboro-Frankfort area. This is for the Vines Creek Crossing expansion. Parcels include 533-1-38, 533-4-28, and 2801, located between Pepper Road and Frankfort School Road. Engineering Department received a request from Davis, Bowen, Friedel on behalf of their client, WH Development, LLC, developers of the proposed Vines Creek Crossing project, also known as the Crest Farm. The Vines Creek Crossing project consists of 584 units and a clubhouse. Properties were recently annexed into the town of Frankfort. We would like to request permission to prepare and post notices to hold a public hearing on the annexation for this area.
Have a motion?
I do.
Please read it.
Be it moved by Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Engineering Department is authorized to prepare and post notices for the Vines Creek Crossing expansion of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include parcels 533-1.00-38.00, 533-4.00-28.00, and 28.01 as presented on September 12th, 2023.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Schaefer, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer?
Yes.
Mrs. Green?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Mr. Whitehouse, old business.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. We have two items of old business this morning. The first is change of zone number 1985, filed on behalf of Love Creek Acquisition, LLC. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held at council's meeting of August 29th. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an M marine district for properties lying on the south side of John J. Williams Highway, northeast of Camp Arrowhead Road. So it was deferred for further consideration.
Any questions to council? Mr. Moore, if you read short title, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a M marine district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.1 acres, more or less, for the evidence given at the council hearing and reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 10.
Pleasure, council.
I'll move for approval.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
A second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Schaefer.
I am going to vote yes because I believe that the request meets the intent of the Marine District. The site is adjacent to a like-kind zoning. Next door is a zone Marine District. I believe the comprehensive land use plan supports the application, and I believe, based on the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, I'll vote yes.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. Green?
Based on the recommendation of Planning and Zoning and the testimony this morning, I'll vote yes.
Hudson?
Mr. Calabro, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but he testified in the Planning and Zoning hearing that this would not be a Trojan horse to get high density there. I know in the Marine District you're allowed up to 12. And he gave his word that that would not happen. Plus, also, in one of the conditions by the Planning and Zoning Commission, they talked about where the site plan would have to be approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission later on down the road. So I will vote yes based on the reasons given by Planning and Zoning.
Mr. Riley?
I will also vote yes based on the reasonings given by Planning and Zoning and also the comments made today.
I also agree with P&Z's recommendation and comments made today. I will vote yes. I would also make a side comment, Mr. Lawson, that it does concern me a little bit about the density in marine. Maybe we need to revisit that density in the marine. Next, sir, go ahead.
Thank you. Our next item of all business is change of zone number 1989, filed on behalf of Fernando Robles. County Council may remember this from the public hearing that was held August 15th of this year. This is an ordinance to change the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C2 medium commercial district for a property located at 19724 Justin Drive, Georgetown. And it was deferred for further consideration. So,
any questions of council? Questions of council? Mr. Moore, read short title, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a C2 medium commercial district for a 2.47 acre portion of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 5.42 acres, more or less.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley, second.
I'll second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Riley.
My vote will be no. I'll agree with the reasonings given by Planning Zoning. I took a couple extra weeks to review this. And essentially their reasoning was that while it is a good project and we hope that it is built, it should rather be done on a conditional use basis rather than a change of zone. Georgetown unquestionably is headed out and growing out in that direction, but it's going to be quite some time before sewer and water and additional development reaches that point. So for the time being, I think encouraging them to come back with an application for conditional use makes more sense. So my vote is no.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Schaefer.
I believe the application's on the cusp of that it should be approved. However, I don't think that it's there yet. I think it would probably be at this time more appropriate to be approved with a conditional use approval, and I'll vote no.
Mrs. Green.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning, I'll vote no.
Mr. Hudson.
I also agree with Mr. Riley and Mr. Schaefer, and with the reasons given by planning and zoning, I vote no.
I also agree with P&Z's recommendation and the comments made this morning. I'll vote no. Motion defeated. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is East Sussex Public Broadcasting Incorporated is requesting $1,200 for Radio Rehoboth computer upgrades. There are no previous grants for this organization. Mr. Schaefer placed on the agenda.
Schaefer.
Excuse me. I would like to offer $1,000 from the 3rd District account.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer. Second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $1,000 from District 3 Council Mag account to the East Sussex Public Broadcasting Incorporated for Radio Rehoboth, computer upgrades. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yield. Motion carried. Next.
Okay, next one is United Way of Delaware for Delaware Goes Purple is requesting $7,500 benefiting the health of our community's youth with drug prevention education and after-school activities. Last grant received for this program was in the amount of $5,000 from the Countywide Youth Program. Mr. Riley placed on the agenda, and it still qualifies for a Countywide Youth Grant.
Mr. Riley.
So I would make a motion that we grant $5,000 from the County Youth.
I'll second it.
Motion, Mr. Riley. Second, Mr. Hudson to grant $7,500 from the Countywide Youth Grant to United Way of Delaware Incorporated for Delaware Goose Purple. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will remind council again, last year around the money, we need to be sharing this, not just all countywide youth grant. By the way, we should add our own coffers also. That's an opinion. Mr. Jennings, you're next.
Okay, next one is Trinity Foundation is requesting $3,000 for their 2023 golf tournament fundraiser event. Last grant received for this organization was the amount of $750 for the Heart and Soul 5K. Mr. Vincent placed on the agenda.
I make that motion to grant $750 by my count again.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson to grant $750 from District 1 Council Bank account to the Trinity Foundation for the 2023 golf tournament, which benefits the whole community with nonprofits. Questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mr. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I will yield. Motion carried. Thank you, Ms. Jennings. Mr. Moore, proposed zoning ordinances.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The first one's in your district, Mr. President. Mm-hmm. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an indoor and outdoor shooting archery range to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Gumborough 100, Sussex County, containing 10.55 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
And the next one is in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for the addition of 8 lots into the White House Beach Manufactured Home Park and being on a 1.04 acre portion, more or less, of a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 324.18 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Hudson introduces it.
And the last one's in Mr. Hudson's district, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, 23 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 9.20 acres, more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Mr. Hudson introduced it.
And that is all, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Councilmember comments. Councilmember comments. Mrs. Green.
This past week, we had a Sussex County Association of Town meeting in Milford. I found it to be very needed information. We had a speaker from Shorefire Cyber, and they spoke about ransomware. A couple of the points that they made is that it doesn't matter what size your company is. You can be hacked for ransomware. they had some very good, there was 5 points that they made that your computer system needs to have all 5 of these in place every single day. Has to do with your backup, has to do with your passwords, and these things have to be handled properly from all your departments. Another thing that they talked about is prioritizing your computers. So if you come in the morning and you're a business and your one computer operates your business by manufacturing, that computer is a priority computer because you can't work that day. Your staff cannot do anything because that computer is down. So the products you make can't operate. So they had some really good points. I thought it was well spoken and well done. Kent County was there at the end, and they stood up and spoke to verify that when they were attacked, it was very costly. The ransom is a cost. Your downtime is a cost. Reconstruction. These are all factors that go into the cost when your computers are hit for ransomware. I'd like to have the county sponsor, have them come and speak, either each Councilmatic district, just host a gathering time for businesses to come, or as a county that we do a little more education on this to help our businesses and our districts. Not sure how we do that, but it is something I'd like to have them come back and do some more teaching and training. I thought it was that good.
The good news is the 5 things you mentioned, we have all those in place in county.
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
And I don't know about hiring these people to come in and teach anybody or not, if that's something we won't even consider, but we could probably do something that Mr. Kilgo could do the same thing.
Yeah, they don't charge to, because I asked the mayor from Milford, they don't charge to come and do it like they did that night, where they just came and they explained what they do. They are a company that you can hire if you want to. They did not charge to do that.
As he said that night, they're one of 20 companies in the country. And what they do, they are hired by the insurance companies.
Yes, they were.
They're not hired by the whoever. Kent County didn't hire them. Kent County's insurance hired them.
Mm-hmm.
Any more public comment? Or excuse me, council comments? Council comments? And that motion to executive session for land acquisition and personnel. Motion, Mr. Schaefer, second.
Second.
Mr. Hudson, questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Schaefer.
Yes.
Mrs. Green.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley. Yes. All right, we have motion here now executive session. Mr. Lawson, I suggest staying.